At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here to start off a new week on Football Full Circle. It is FFC on Sports Grid Radio and all across the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Joe Lisi. That's the mastermind of the pigskin. I am Ben Stevens. We get you set by looking back on the weekend that was around the National Football League, week number 15, now fully into the final month of this NFL regular season. Not just a Sunday slate, Joe Lisi, but a triple header of NFL action on Saturday to recap with one final game in week number 15 on this Monday night out in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle between the Seahawks and the Eagles. A ton of football to look back on and look forward to here on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, great. It was a great weekend of NFL action. Started on Saturday with the first game on the board in terms of Minnesota and Cincinnati. Jake Browning stepped up. They get the 27-24 win in overtime. Continued yesterday. We saw the Buffalo Bills step up and just dominate the Dallas Cowboys. MVP Dak Prescott? No. It was Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills that dominated. And then last night we saw Lamar Jackson. They grind out a win on the road in Duval County over the Jacksonville Jaguars, now reestablish themselves as the top team in the AFC, and we have to see about the Philadelphia Eagles tonight. But that's what makes it special, Ben. We're in the final stretch run of the NFL season.
One last game in week 15, then it's week 16, 17, 18, three more weeks here in the NFL regular season where, Joe, you alluded to it right there, each and every game has some sort of ramification or implication on a jumbled playoff picture in both conferences, the AFC and how wild the wild card chase is, and the NFC. Divisional races still up for grabs and those playoff spots. Let's bring in that Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM at channel 150. On Sirius XM. That's the home for Sports Grid Radio. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. It is Football Full Circle, recapping the NFL weekend, week number 15. Three games on Saturday, 11 games on Sunday, one final one on this Monday night as well. So, Joe, as we look back on the Sunday slate, I think it's fair to say the marquee matchup of the day was in Western New York. You talk about the Buffalo Bills, winners of two straight following the bye when there is very little margin of error for Buffalo. Two marquee victories that will shape the rest of the campaign for the Bills. Last week in Arrowhead over Kansas City. Yesterday, dominating Dallas at home 31-10. Buffalo wins and covers easily, Joe, as a 2.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, they started fast. That was the biggest thing at home. We saw James Cook get involved, not in terms of just the rushing attack, but the short to intermediate passing game, caught the second touchdown from Josh Allen. And Josh Allen played lights out in regards to that ball game. But how about that Buffalo Bills defense, right? They were depleted. We saw a bunch of players not suit up yesterday for the defensive unit, and all they did was hold the Dallas Cowboys to 10 total points. That was a Dallas Dallas Cowboy team, Ben, that had won five straight games entering that matchup in Orchard Park. They won by an average margin of victory of 23.2 points per game. Dak Prescott was averaging over the past three games 300 passing yards, had thrown nine touchdowns, and yeah, they held him in check. That was a dominant defensive effort, but now this team is starting to trend, right? They're not just potentially a wild card contender, but they have the potential, the way they're playing now, to win the AFC championship. Now they have to get in and take care of business.
Joe, I think that's the point, right? I think that is my overall takeaway. We talk about how jumbled both conferences are and how that playoff race is going to be over the final 3 weeks of this NFL regular season. And that is very true. Games even between teams that both might have a losing record could have significance to a playoff race. But there is that idea of it. Buffalo now one of five teams in the AFC with an 8-6 overall record, one of the four teams in the wild card hunt at this moment. In the NFC, there are a ton of teams at 7-7 overall, hunting down the NFC South division and in wild card potential as well, which is great. So many teams still in the running, Joe, for a postseason berth at this late stage of the NFL season. But how many of those teams that are hovering either at an even 500 or a few games above 500 do we actually expect to make any noise come the playoffs and when the postseason actually begins? In my estimation, Joe, and feel free to disagree, I don't think there's all that many out there in either the AFC or the NFC, except for one, and that's mainly the Buffalo Bills. Entered the weekend at 10-1 to win the AFC championship. Just a few weeks ago, it was 23-1 for Buffalo to be an AFC championship contender. After two big victories, Joe, plus 750. Now that price for the Bills, and I think it's very fitting.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Buffalo is definitely one of those teams, and if not the team that is on the outside looking in, that can make a run for a potential AFC championship. We only saw a 94-yard performance out of Josh Allen, but that physical rushing attack now, a James Cook, a buck 79 on the ground, 42 receiving yards. That offensive line is playing as good as anybody, so you're right. And what you have to do in terms of a playoff environment is run the football, win the turnover battle, and that's what Buffalo is doing now each and every week since they came out of that bye week 4 weeks ago. So it has to continue. There is no margin of error for the Buffalo Bills over the next 3 weeks. They get the Miami Dolphins as well to end the regular season. Miami took care of business, but you're right there. I think the only team that I would maybe throw out in the NFC as an outlier, Ben, would be the LA Rams. And the reason I only say that is because they won the Super Bowl not too long ago. The way Cooper Kupp has stepped up, the way Matt Stafford is playing at an elite level, I just like McVay, that if they could sneak into the playoffs on the NFC side, maybe they have some legs just like Buffalo does in terms of the AFC.
And here's a key distinction, Joe, between those two examples in either conference. Buffalo right now, despite the two marquee victories back-to-back, still would be on the outside of the playoffs looking in that jumbled race of those four 8-6 teams in the AFC wild card picture. Buffalo's currently the 9 seed. There's still ground to make up for LA, who has now won four in a row, 28-20, the victory for the Rams at SoFi Stadium on Sunday. And the final score, not truly indicative, Joe, of how dominant Los Angeles was throughout the majority of that game against the Commanders, the Rams covering as a 6.5-point home favorite. The Rams are in that seventh and final NFC playoff spot at this moment. All of it will be ironed out over the final few weeks, but all of the final few weeks, these last three, Joe, will have those playoff implications. Quickly here, Joe, before we come up to the commercial break, you look at the Dallas Cowboys, now 0-3 against the spread as an underdog this year. All three games have come on the road for the Cowboys. Is what you saw yesterday a true concern for Dallas moving forward?
Absolutely. When you can't win in a difficult environment on the road, you're basically what we consider a fraud type of team. Because in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, you need to win those type of ball games. That is not good for the Dallas Cowboys moving forward.
All four losses for Dallas this year have come on the road. Dallas would be on the road as of right now as the 5 seed in the AFC playoff picture currently. And as an underdog, again, have not covered a number. 0-3 ATS. More Sunday reaction around the National Football League next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It's a Monday. We look back on Sunday, actually the entirety of the weekend in the National Football League, with a triple header of NFL games on Saturday this weekend as well. So, Joe, we talked about the marquee matchup on Sunday. The Buffalo Bills dominate Dallas 31-10 at home. Buffalo 8-6, one of those four teams in the AFC wildcard chase at 8-6. There's another 8-6 team in the AFC that currently is not in the wild card chase because they sit in first in their division. That's the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC South, but it's not a good 8-6 at this moment. It's three games dropped in a row for Jacksonville, Joe, including on Sunday Night Football, a game of missed opportunities for the Jags, a game the Ravens remind us they are the best team in the AFC. 23-7, the Flock go on the road in Duval County, win and cover as a 3.5-point road favorite. Baltimore, the only 11-win team in the AFC. There are currently two 11-win teams in football. It's Baltimore out of the AFC. It's San Francisco in the NFC, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, they did it on the ground. Over 200 yards rushing. Lamar Jackson, 97 on the ground. They beat them up at the point of attack, and they held a 10-0 halftime lead and never looked back. I mean, Jacksonville cut it to 10-7, but just did not have what it took to really maintain the lead or get in striking distance in the second half outside that touchdown. Here's the thing, though, too, Ben. We talked about, obviously, the Dallas Cowboys not winning on the road. Jacksonville can't win at home. I never saw a team that has a better road record than they do at home in their own place in terms of Duval County. They've played definite step-up spots. San Francisco, Kansas City, and now Baltimore at home. They lost every game and have been abused from an offensive perspective. Can't put up points in their own building. So I'm not sure what it is. They need to right the ship. But Lamar Jackson, Baltimore, deserving right now of the number one overall seed. That defense continues to progress, shut down opposing offenses, and they run the football. Again, we might be on a collision course for a rematch of the former Super Bowl, Baltimore and San Fran.
Yeah, that could certainly be the case. That was the Harbaugh showdown. It would be a little bit different this time around. John for Baltimore, still there in San Francisco, of course. It is Kyle Shanahan. A few more thoughts about Sunday Night Football. What a dominant performance it was for Baltimore on the ground. Lamar Jackson, the leading rusher for the Ravens once again. But with some good, there is some bad. The Ravens have been plagued by injuries, Joe, all season long. That was the case again last night. Keaton Mitchell, the outstanding speedster, rookie undrafted free agent running back out of East Carolina, who had truly emerged in this Baltimore backfield, out of the game late. It seems as though it was a significant knee injury, and his season is expected to be over. That's a big blow for Baltimore, but they're the best scoring defense in the NFL, only giving up 16.1 points per game. Baltimore is playing really well this year. They've been booked as a favorite now in 13 of 14 games. They are 8-5 against the spread. Joe, for Jacksonville, 0-3 against the number as a home underdog against the Chiefs, the Niners, and the Ravens, teams at the top of their respective conferences, where Jacksonville was trending for a little bit of this season. Now losers of three in a row. Trevor Lawrence, after the game, reports some concussion-like symptoms. He is now in the protocol. Jacksonville on the road this upcoming weekend, Joe, on Christmas Eve in Tampa Bay. They're booked right now as a short 1.5-point road underdog with the status of Trevor Lawrence uncertain. They need to stop this losing skid that they are currently on. Jacksonville fading a little bit here, Joe, into this final month.
Yeah, and you have a team in Tampa Bay that's actually trending right now after their win over Green Bay. Baker and that offense are humming right now. It's amazing when you think about how consistent they have become. 34 points in terms of that ballgame, Ben. I mean, I guess the good news for Jacksonville is even if Lawrence doesn't start, they're on the road, so that you know they have a shot. The last time they were on the road, they faced Flacco. They got abused. That secondary really needs to make adjustments because the way they're chucking it with Tampa Bay, I mean, they're as good as anybody right now in terms of the passing attack. Rashad White is getting involved. I mean, you want to give me 1.5? I mean, because of how good they've been on the road, I'll probably take the points. But that, again, this is not a best bet of mine heading into this weekend.
I think if Trevor Lawrence plays, I would not be surprised to see Jacksonville flip to the favorites. But again, it's not exactly easy waters right now for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And a shout out to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at this moment, 34-20, the win for the Bucs on the road yesterday in Lambeau in Green Bay. The Packers have lost two in a row, booked as the favored side. Tampa wins outright for the second straight week as the road underdog, as a 3.5-point underdog in Green Bay. And Baker Mayfield, 381 yards, 4 passing scores, a perfect passer rating in Lambeau, becoming the first or one of the first quarterbacks ever to throw for a perfect passer rating on the road in Lambeau Field. That is how good Baker Mayfield was on Sunday against the Packers. And for Tampa Bay, Joe, make that 3 straight wins, 2 straight outright as the underdog. Tampa now an odds-on favorite at -125 to win the NFC South. The Buccaneers are 7-7. The Saints are 7-7. New Orleans holding serve at home yesterday against the New York Giants, winning 24-6 and covering as a 5.5-point home favorite. Both teams at 7-7, Joe, battling it out for that top spot in the NFC South. The Buccaneers did beat the Saints earlier on in the opening half of this NFL season. Those two teams will face off for the second time this year, week 17, a couple of weekends from now in New Orleans.
Yeah, we give the edge to Tampa Bay because I think Baker's playing really well, and I'll give him his props. This offense is humming. When you put up 34 points, I mean, every week they're good for about 28. I mean, they're a complete over type of team, I want to say, from the middle part of the year till now. I mean, all they do is push tempo, and again, Rashad White's coming along, not just in terms of the rushing attack, catches the football, scored a touchdown yesterday. So at the end of the day, they're going to be a very difficult out. If we're talking New Orleans, Tampa Bay, all the way Tampa Bay, because I'm not sold on the quarterback position for New Orleans. They grinded out a victory in back-to-back weeks over the Panthers and Tommy DeVito and the New York Giants. Granted, it's the defense that has carried them. If they have to rely on the offense, that's a cause of concern for me. So I lean to Tampa overall to steal the division.
Yeah, I think those final 2 weeks will really decide it. The Saints will host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then go on the road to Atlanta. But the Falcons, Joe, speaking about bad road teams, 3-15 straight up on the road under Arthur Smith the last 2 years. As a favorite this year, 2-8 against the spread as the Panthers get just their second win of the year on a nasty, rainy, wet day in Charlotte. But the Panthers knock off the Falcons outright as a 3-point home underdog. 9-7, a total of 34, never even gets halfway there as the Panthers get their second win of the year despite both Bryce Young and Desmond Ridder, Joe, both throwing for less than 165 yards.
Unwatchable that game was yesterday, right? 7-3 at the half, and you got one touchdown in terms. It was amazing, unbelievable. Here's the thing: I don't understand how you're 3-15 over the past few seasons, but whatever you're doing, you need to change it up. Why they don't give the football to Bijan Robinson more? Yeah. They don't utilize him enough. Cordarrelle Patterson scored the touchdown again. I don't know what this team is doing, but if they're gonna make a playoff run, they need to right the ship. They got to win out. Des Ritter's been inconsistent. Arthur Smith has been inconsistent as well, Ben. I mean, he's up and down just like his team is. I'm shocked that, honestly, he's not being talked about potentially as on the hot seat.
Well, we'll see how the rest of this year does shake out, Joe, because the Atlanta Falcons were in that catbird seat, ready to take this division. A couple of home games booked as the favorite, and then they got to play the Panthers in week 15. They have lost a few games outright as a favorite that could end up costing them a postseason berth with all the talent in Atlanta. Maybe there's some questions moving forward this offseason. More around the weekend that was in the National Football League and all of the impacts in terms of the playoff races. That's up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. We keep it rolling, looking back on the weekend that was around the National Football League. Joe, the San Francisco 49ers in the highest scoring game of the weekend do outlast the Arizona Cardinals in the desert, 45-29. As was expected, San Francisco puts up a ton of points, wins by double digits. They cover as a 13.5-point favorite, 45-29 the final. The pregame total was 47.5-48. It skies over. But Joe, when you look at San Francisco, an 11-win football team, they have covered in 8 of the 11 wins. They have scored at least 27 points in all 11 victories this year. What stood out to you about the 49ers' performance yesterday out in the desert?
Again, just Brock Purdy again. I mean, I know he got a little dinged up for a couple of plays, but 242, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He's not turning the football over, Ben. And again, that's exactly what you need to win a Super Bowl. You need a quarterback that can put it up, not turn the football over, put your team in a position to win. And, you know, they're just picking them up and putting them down. I mean, not just Purdy, it's the defense. I mean, Christian McCaffrey again last night. I mean, all they do is produce 45 points. They're good for like 28 to 30 each and every week. And again, there is no downside for San Fran right now. Again, the only downside was, are they hitting their stride too early? That would be the only thing for me. It's like, you know, it's almost like the baseball scenario where they run through the regular season, then they get the number one seed and they bow out the first round of the playoffs. So the first game, the way Tennessee and Ryan Tannehill did against Joe Burrow. That is the only downside to the San Francisco team right now.
Yeah, it will be a favorable path for San Francisco to be at home, to be the one seed, to have the bye. But that 5 seed at the moment is the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, it's going to take a lot for the Cowboys to earn our respect, and rightfully so, as a road team, as a road underdog against San Francisco in a playoff spot that would send them to the NFC Championship game. But it's not exactly the most crystal clear path for San Francisco at this moment. Joe, when you look at the numbers, however, yesterday, Brock Purdy, 16 of 25, 242, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Christian McCaffrey, 115 yards on the ground, a score, 72 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns there, 187 scrimmage yards, 3 total TDs, 4 runs CMC. Because of Dak Prescott's dismal performance in Buffalo, in the loss the Cowboys suffered, because the 49ers continue to stack it up, Joe, Brock Purdy, now the odds-on favorite, the first player we have seen into minus money in the MVP race this year, minus 200 for Brock Purdy. Do you believe he is the rightful favorite to win the NFL MVP?
Well, I mean, based off of where we're at, I would say, yes, he definitely deserves to be the front guy. But I think Lamar could potentially close the gap. So, I mean, that's the only thing. Lamar, you know, continues to put up performances over the next 3 weeks of the regular season. He's going to have an opportunity. I believe Lamar plays the Miami Dolphins and the Dallas Cowboys, if I'm not mistaken. Got to check the schedule. There's the resume to run the table, put up huge performances, and potentially steal it from Brock Purdy, right? So that would be the only thing right now. I would only put Lamar and Brock Purdy in the conversation.
Yeah, I think Lamar has earned that right now, plus 450 for Lamar Jackson following the big win for Baltimore on Sunday night. Joe, there is still that idea that Brock Purdy is maybe not worthy of the individual accolade because of those surrounding him. It's hogwash. It's malarkey. It's bullcrap at this moment. You look at the numbers even if you don't believe in the way that Brock Purdy plays the quarterback position. Now second most passing yards in the NFL, 3,795, leads the NFL in terms of passing touchdowns this year at 29 to only 7 INTs. He is also tops in the NFL in terms of QBR and passer rating. He's been the best quarterback this year, and he should be celebrated for the success he has had with those targets around him. However, Brock Purdy himself said that when asked about the MVP race and his consideration, that his running back, Christian McCaffrey, should be the MVP favorite. And when you look at the numbers, who can fault him? Again, 187 7 total yards from the line of scrimmage yesterday for McCaffrey. 3 total touchdowns. Joe, when you look at Christian McCaffrey, 20-1 right now, tied for the 6th best price to win that NFL MVP. Again, we've seen 10 consecutive quarterbacks win the MVP award. 15 of the last 16 winners of the MVP award in the National Football League have played the quarterback position. It is a quarterback award. Do you believe Christian McCaffrey has any validity to his candidacy to win the MVP award?
To legitimately win, no. No, because I think, again, if he closes the gap and let's say Purdy and McCaffrey, you want to say negate each other, I think it's then Lamar's. I personally think it's Purdy and Lamar. Those are the two guys down the final 3 weeks of the regular season. Now, I guess you can make the argument if Purdy throws for 120 yards and no touchdowns and McCaffrey has 150 to 200 yard all-around total performances with multiple touchdowns for the next 3 weeks, maybe he could close that gap. But I mean, Brock Purdy every week is 240, 250, two or three touchdowns, no interceptions. If he continues on that path, he's going to win it, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so. But again, it's the efficiency and the numbers that now back it up for Brock Purdy. Minus 200 to win the NFL MVP. And when you look at the 49ers, the favorites to win the Super Bowl, plus 240 in front of the Baltimore Ravens by more than $3. Baltimore plus 550. Those two teams face off in the nightcap of the triple header on Christmas, a week from today. A 4.5-point spread in favor of the 49ers. They're home in Santa Clara. But again, the odds makers believe by a pretty good margin right now, Lisi Guy, San Francisco is the best team in the National Football League. Let's fly around the rest of the weekend. Some important games, Joe, on Saturday. What a triple header it was. The Bengals win in overtime in the opening game of 27-24. That's 3 straight wins now orchestrated by Jake Browning, the last two as the favorite side since he was a 3-point home favorite. Total of 40.5, 41. Skies over. Minnesota falls to 7-7. Cincinnati, Joe, improves to 8-6. They are one of those 4 wild card teams at 8-6 right now in the AFC.
Yeah, and they're going to need Ja'Marr Chase to be 100% healthy. Yeah. Left that game with a shoulder injury again. But Jake Browning's the guy. Started slow. 4th quarter, game on the line, ties it up. All of a sudden, in overtime, puts his team in a position. And that defense made multiple stops in the second half to provide an opportunity for their offense. They stopped them on, I believe it was a 3rd-and-1 and a 4th-and-1 in terms of quarterback sneaks. That defense is starting to come around. Again, we talk about Buffalo being a legitimate team. If Ja'Marr Chase is 100% healthy by the end of the regular season and they get into the playoffs, they are going to be, and I'm talking about Cincinnati, a very difficult out because of how Jake Browning's playing. There's not that much of a drop off productivity-wise from where Joe Burrow was. So as long as you can get the football to those playmakers and the defense steps up, you have maybe 90% of the same type of team that went back-to-back to AFC championship game. So that is where what I look at. I look at Buffalo. I look at Cincy, dominant effort. And, you know, it's unfortunate for Minnesota, but they're scraping quarterbacks off the street. Josh Dobbs, Nick Mullins, and they're putting up points. It's just the defense gave through at the wrong time on Saturday.
Listen, the Vikings still are one of those playoff teams in the wild card spots in the NFC at this moment. Minnesota is 7-7. We talked about Green Bay, Joe. They have dropped 2 straight, both losing outright as a favorite. The other team in the NFC South, the Saints, are 7-7. We'll see what happens to the Seahawks tonight with the Falcons and the Packers both at 6-8. So Minnesota's still there. Nick Mullins throws for over 300. Ty Chandler, who was thrust into that spot in place of the injured Alexander Mattison, runs for 132 yards. Justin Jefferson back, finishes with 80-some-odd receiving yards. Jordan Addison over 102 scores. Good for Minnesota offensively, and the defense has been really good. Under Brian Flores, it will have to continue to be really good to clinch Minnesota a playoff berth. But Jake Browning, Joe, 324 yards, 2 touchdown tosses. He has thrown for 275 yards at least in these last 3 consecutive consecutive wins for Cincinnati, and T. Higgins stepping up in a big spot. It was a wild fourth quarter. 28 total points scored in that fourth and final quarter between the two sides on Saturday in Cincinnati. Next game up, Joe, the Indianapolis Colts win a big one at home to improve to 8-6 to hold on to one of the wild card spots in the AFC. Indianapolis in that seventh and final AFC postseason position at this moment, hammering the Steelers despite being down double digits early, 30-13. Indianapolis, Joe, has won five of its last six games. In all five victories, the Colts have covered as a short favorite, never laying more than 2 points.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh jumps up 13-0 on a block punt to put them up. They missed the extra point. All of a sudden, Gardner Minshew comes out. He's in Vegas every week, I'm telling you, rolling sevens. The guy's amazing in terms of how he pulls ball games out. They dropped some playmakers. Zach Moss goes down. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll chuck it all over the yard. It's amazing in regards to how he's played in terms of putting his team in a position to get a wild card and maybe steal the division. So, dominant effort in the second half. They made adjustments. Same old Steelers. This is the problem, though, Ben. No rushing attack. Long third down situations. Not stretching defenses vertically with Trubisky or and/or Kenny Pickett. And you're not going to win games that way. You're just not.
I mean, when you think about 216 total yards for the Steelers, outgained in now 13 of its 14 games this year. Mike Tomlin announcing this morning, by the way, that Mason Rudolph is the starting quarterback now for Pittsburgh. Trubisky had two interceptions, three turnovers for Pittsburgh, zero turnovers for Indy on the other side. The Steelers, Joe, have really ruined their chances of making the playoffs, not just based on Saturday, but two losses as a home favorite the last 2 weeks prior. More Football Full Circle coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. What a wild Sunday it was around the National Football League. But before we get to Sunday, the nightcap on Saturday. The Detroit Lions, Joe, needed a win on Saturday night against the Denver Broncos, and that's what they got. A big one at home. Jared Goff throws for five touchdowns, and Detroit wins 42-17 over Denver. The Broncos in a tough spot. Three consecutive road games for Denver, and Detroit takes advantage. Winning 42-17 the final, covering as a 4.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. We knew that Denver would struggle in regards to that. Well, at least we brought it up that it's potential struggle spot because of three straight road games. But this was all the Detroit offense. They dominated from start to finish, put the pressure on Russell Wilson to match them score for score. They couldn't do it. And that's a testament. That's the way they were playing at the start of the year. So the rocky road for the last month of the season really sorted itself out at home. Now it has to continue. But again, if they can play a game or a playoff game in their house, they are a very difficult out. The question remains, can this team win a very difficult ball game in San Fran or potentially in Philly or Dallas on the road? That is the biggest question mark.
Yeah, big time for Detroit. But this was a game, Joe, where they had really kind of slid down, at least perception and in results, the last 4 weeks. Detroit got that win that it needed. Five touchdown tosses for Jared Goff. Two total touchdowns for Jahmyr Gibbs. Three of those five passing scores from Goff to his rookie tight end, Sam Laporta, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Seven grabs, 112 yards, and a score as well. Detroit gets to that double-digit win margin now, 10-4, a three-game cushion over the Vikings in the division. Detroit well on its way with 3 weeks remaining, albeit two games against Minnesota, to clinching its first divisional crown in 30 years. That's where the Lions stand at this moment. All right, Lisa Guy, now we go to the rest of the Sunday slate. The Miami Dolphins needed to bounce back from the disaster against the Titans on Monday night. They do so in a big way. A shutout of the New York Jets, 0 points for Gangrene, 30 of them for Miami. They cover as a 9.5-point favorite. That was the eighth game, Joe, for the Fins this year as north of a touchdown favorite. They are now 6-2 against the number when they lay a big spread.
Yeah, if I would have told you at the start of the game, 35.5 was the total and Miami scored 30, you think you would get the over? Probably, yeah. But not when you get a goose egg for the New York Jets. This was an all-around complete effort by the Miami Dolphins. Jaylen Waddle with an unbelievable performance in the absence of Tyreek Hill. Over 100 yards, big 60-yard bomb from Tua to Waddle. And the defense for Miami stepped up, completely made Zach Wilson and that Jet offense one-dimensional, put them into long third downs. I mean, predictable. They got quarterback pressures. They couldn't run the football effectively. And again, you're not going to win ball games. We talk about road teams, right? The only way a team like the New York Jets or a methodical offense can win on the road, you dominate in regards to the rushing attack and then dominate in terms of the turnover battle. And the New York Jets didn't either. And that's a testament to the Miami offense that was supposed to be bad weather. Well, I'll tell you what, if they're was, it didn't affect Miami in any capacity.
Yeah, there were some wins predicted. The wins didn't really come to be a part, as Donnie Wrightside likes to say. It's a canopy environment at Hard Rock, keeping the winds on the outside of the stadium. It's not fully outdoor and in the elements at any time. Joe, I had the over 37.5 Jets, Dolphins yesterday, even way back from where the total was earlier in the week. Thought I was going to get it easily after 30 points for Miami. Just got zero from Zach Wilson or Trevor Siemian. Zach Wilson exited the game twice. At first it was dehydration, then it was a concussion that wasn't a concussion, then he ended up being placed in the protocols. Just bad vibes around this New York Jets team, Joe. Eliminated from postseason contention already. They have now missed the NFL playoffs for 13 straight years. It's the longest active postseason drought in all the four major men's professional sports leagues in North America. The NFL, the NBA, MLB, or the NHL. That's how bad things are for the Jets. Aaron Rodgers should not play this year. The only thing he would have to do to play this year is just to do it to defy science, Joe, so Aaron can be the smartest guy in the room once again. It would be a terrible idea. Can they change things around in 2024? I think that's a big if and a question to be answered, but he should not play this year.
He probably will, though, Ben, if he can. If he's clear like they say he is, then he should go out there. He loves all the limelight. That's what Aaron Rodgers is all about. It's all about me as opposed to anything else. I will say, from the football aspect, maybe he should get out there and get acclimated with his new talent, right? I mean, the ability to at least perform. I know the season is written off, but you still want Aaron Rodgers to at least be in game shape come training camp. I'm just saying, though, if he's clear, scrape him up and throw him out there. Why not?
It would be a disaster. I think it would be just franchise mismanagement in my estimation, but who knows? Maybe they will try to turn the tides and the vibes around this New York Jets team. So Miami, 10-4. Joe, something we didn't really mention with the Buffalo Bills. The Dolphins have the hardest schedule remaining in the National Football League. Here are their final three games. They have a matchup this upcoming Sunday at home against the Dallas Cowboys, so that's a benefit. Then the Baltimore Ravens on the road, week number 17, and then host the Buffalo Bills week number 18 in the regular season finale. There is a chance for Buffalo to catch Miami in the AFC East. At this moment, Miami still booked as a minus 270 favorite, but Buffalo at plus 200, Joe, could be worth a consideration.
I think so. Again, you know, you always have concerns with the Miami Dolphins. I've been a fan for a long time, late 70s. Yeah. That's how old I am and how long I've suffered with misery of the Miami Dolphins not winning a Super Bowl. So just because they're in the front seat right now doesn't mean Buffalo can't catch them. And I like the way the Bills are playing. Very difficult ball games. It's not going to be easy. I don't see the Dolphin defense putting up that type of effort, what we saw against the New York Jets. They're playing much more explosive offenses down the stretch, and I do feel that the Bills do catch them over the past few weeks, Ben.
We'll see. Right now, Miami 10 wins in the 2 spot in the AFC seeding. Kansas City 9 wins in the 3 spot. The Chiefs end their 2-game skid. They win by double digits in Foxborough. The line closed right at kick at 10. For most of the week, it was 8.5 or 9.5. Either way, Joe, the Chiefs a double-digit victory. They score 27 points, and if it wasn't for a Kadarius Toney drop that led to a New England short field, Kansas City would have covered either which way you got the number. But the Chiefs score 27 in Foxborough. They end that 2-game losing streak.
Yeah, again, you know, they were pushed to the limit. It looked like Bailey Zappe and New England would push them. They wound up, in some books, covering the 10.5-point number, got down to 9.5, 8.5. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs grinded out a victory. It wasn't the prettiest either, but they got it done. Mahomes threw some, you know, passes over the top. We saw those wide receivers get involved. Again, was it the most complete effort that we've seen in regards to the Kansas City Chiefs? No. But McKinnon got involved, and I think that's the most important thing, is that they still found a way on the road to get a victory and win by double digits. That's what the Chiefs do. Now, can it continue? That remains to be seen.
Yeah, it will be a very interesting conversation for Kansas City, but not out of that overall conversation for the AFC's number one overall seed. The Chiefs do play the Bengals next weekend in Arrowhead. Listen, since he's playing great football, KC is going to be a favorite in that game. They have the Raiders on Christmas. They're a 10-point favorite. They end the year against the LA Chargers, who knows what they're going to look like at that point. The Chiefs, a much easier schedule than the two teams ahead of them in Miami or Baltimore. Something to keep an eye on for this Kansas City team. Joe, the Cleveland Browns have a leg up on all of the teams in the wild card mix right now in the AFC with a 9-5 record for Cleveland. They come back from down double digits against the Chicago Bears. Two critical drops for the Bears. First, early on in the opening quarter, Robert Tonyan wide open. Justin Fields puts it on a dime right to him. Would have walked into the end zone, dropped it. Not a professional play. End of the game, Hail Mary attempt. It ends up after being tipped around in the lap of Darnell Mooney. He can't secure the football. Cleveland survives with a victory after coming from behind 20-17, even covering as a slight 2.5-point home favorite.
I don't know. I want to talk about, like, the defense for Cleveland, like, to make those adjustments after they were down 17 yeah. to 7. But Joe Flacco, 374. We had Njoku and Amari Cooper over 100 yards receiving. I mean, they scraped Flacco off the street. He's chucking sevens. 374. He's had, like, two or three games over 300 now. This was an offense that was limited with Deshaun Watson. So is it all Flacco, or is it the fact that Stefanski all of a sudden has thrown caution to the wind and realizes you can't win games just running the football? I don't know, because they average like 210 passing yards per game with Deshaun Watson. Now they're over there, since Flacco's there, they're like 280 plus.
It is crazy to think about. 374 for Joe Flacco. When you look at the game log and the three starts that he has made for Cleveland, 254 in the opener against LA the last 2 weeks, at least 311 yards. Did have three INTs and was sacked 4 times yesterday, but somehow, some way, the Cleveland Browns get a win. A crucial loss for the Bears, Joe, who have an easy schedule down the stretch. Had they held on to that victory yesterday, they actually might be in the wild card race, funny enough, in the NFC. Justin Fields, pressure in his face all day long, 2 interceptions, just not good enough for Chicago. Elsewhere, Joe, as we finish off the weekend that was in the National Football League, the final game we haven't discussed, the Houston Texans staying in that wild card race in the AFC. They win it in overtime in Nashville, a 54-yarder from Kyeemi Fairbairn, the second 50-yard field goal he made on the day, and the Texans were down 13-0 early on in the opening half against Tennessee. They storm all the way back without C.J. Stroud, and it was Case Keenum that made the start, not even Davis Mills. A huge victory for Houston, Joe, on the road to stay in the thick of that wild card race.
Yeah, again, DeMeco Ryans did a fantastic job. The rushing attack, 148, over 4.5 yards per carry in terms of that matchup. They're running the football on the road. DeMeco Ryans' defense did an absolute fantastic job in terms of making halftime adjustments. He's definitely a Coach of the Year candidate, and that was a great effort on the road. I mean, we talked about Will Levis earlier in Tennessee getting the victory over Miami last week. Well, this was a tough place to play, and they found a way to grind it out. Testament to what that team is, deserving to potentially hoist Coach of the Year. And if they get in there and Stroud's healthy, it's anybody's guess, they could potentially make a run as well.
The defense has been really good under DeMeco Ryans and stepping up where they needed to against the Tennessee team that really shouldn't be laying points against anybody. Houston wins outright as that 3-point underdog. The only team in the league, the Texans, who are 6-2 against the number as a dog with a 5-3 straight up record overall and outright. Houston, the only team in the National Football League, Joe, to be booked as an underdog multiple times this year and have a winning record straight up. That is where Houston is, and it's one of the reasons they are still hunting down a playoff spot in the AFC. Monday Night Football, we'll talk about it up next. A game in Seattle, Battle of the Birds between the Eagles and the Seahawks. That's up next. Come back and join us live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle for just a few more minutes. One final game tonight in Seattle for week number 15. It's Monday Night Football between the Eagles and the Seahawks. Quarterback questions, Joe, on both sides. Jalen Hurts, questionable with an illness, battling flu-like symptoms, but he is expected to play. On the other side, a groin issue that sidelined Geno Smith last week against San Francisco. Drew Lock stepped up and in. It looks as though it will be a true game time decision for Seattle around the quarterback spot tonight. But Dr. David Chow told us on the early line, Joe, he thinks it's unlikely Geno Smith is able to play this evening. It's a 3.5-point spread. The over-under is 45 total points, 3.5, by the way, in favor of the Birds. Lisi Guy, what do you like?
I love the Eagles here. I don't care who starts, and I'm putting it in my head, the over. I'm rolling the primetime train. I know it stopped yesterday in regards to that Jacksonville game, but they've been a majority of the overs, continued on Thursday night with the Chargers. I think both offenses are going to push tempo. Even if Mariota does start this game for the Eagles, I think their defense responds on the road. Matt Patricia making calls. I put it in my head already. Double-digit win. I'm going for it. I might alt it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But the Eagles need to step up on the road, and I think they get it done.
Yeah, I completely agree, Joe. Six times this year so far, Philadelphia has laid less than 6 points as the favorite, and they are a perfect 6-0 against the spread. I don't think it's overly difficult. Even if Jalen Hurts is not a full 100% tonight, I think it's a big DeAndre Swift game. 59.5 is rushing yards prop, 76.5 the combo prop, rushing plus receiving yards. Love it all for Philadelphia. The Seahawks have been terrible defending the run. I think it's the Eagles, but I think it's very simply Eagles minus -3, 3.5, and maybe that line works in their favor prior to kick. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle. Oh, by the way, both of us like the over 51.5 for the famous Toastery Bowl to get bowl season back underway this week. That's a 2:30 p.m. Eastern time kick. We'll see you at noon Eastern tomorrow on Football Full Circle.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.